Okay, the text is from the gospel reading, the last verse. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Ever since the Supreme Court redefined marriage, the Christian has been made to feel loveless, merciless, compassionless if he does not embrace women marrying women, men wanting to be women, and all the perversities in between. Yes, all the perversities we were taught to laugh at on TV and in movies were now to take seriously. How do you navigate this new mind field? That's M-I-N-D field. In Jesus, of course, of whom 17th century cleric John Donne said, "Was not thy passion enough? But thou must have compassion." Christ's passion was for all sinners everywhere. Yes, that includes heinous sins of deeds, words, and even thoughts. His passion was for the sexual sins our society has embraced, as well as for the sexual sins, few though they be, our society doesn't embrace yet. Make sure you put yourself in that number. Make sure you see that you're one of the sinners Christ's passion was for. Make sure you see that it's not just your sexual sins that he suffered for, but for even the more serious sins of unbelief and misbelief, for the idolatry that manifests itself whenever we don't fear, love, or trust in God above all things. Christ's passion from Gethsemane to Golgotha was about paying for all sins. There's not a man, woman, or child anywhere that you can point to and ask, "What about their sins?" and not get the answer, "Yes, their sins too were there." Isn't that what John the Baptist cried out? "That's the Lamb of God carrying away the sins of the world." Yes, that includes those two men at the altar and those two women keeping house. Yes, that includes that person denying his God-given gender. Don't let this mind field that our society has walked us into limit the passion of Christ. God went to incredible lengths to pay for the sins of all. He sent his son into the womb of a virgin to redeem those there and to put him under all the laws, all the requirements, all the demands of God from then on. And Jesus kept all that perfectly. Both God and men had to pronounce Jesus innocent of any wrongdoing. And then off Jesus went to be the wrath-removing sacrifice, not only of our sins, but for the sins of the whole world, including that alphabet soup of LGBT. You may not deny this without limiting Christ's atonement. This is the very gospel itself, that God was in Christ reconciling the world, not a piece of it, not just the heterosexuals, not just the non-perverts, but the world to himself. Now, how does 2 Corinthians say he did that? By not counting people's sins against them. Yikes! You mean God in Christ is not counting the sin of those two men in a lip lock against them? You mean God in Christ is not counting the sins of those two women raising a child with two mommies against them? Nope. And that's what you must say too, or you deny the gospel. And if you deny it for them, you limit it for you. Stay with me. Christ's passion was for all sinners. But as John Donne said, his painful, hellish, passionate suffering and death for all sinners wasn't enough. He also has compassion for all sinners. Yes, he has compassion for those sinners that upset us. We're Jonah, who is so angry that God forgave the ungodly, cruel Assyrians. And how did the Lord answer his pout? He said, should not I pity Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? Christ has compassion on the cattle, for crying out loud. Hear Luther on this. Even the most wicked human beings must be born with compassion. And there's absolutely no way this can be done apart from being bathed in Christ's compassion for us. Lamentations 3:21, Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. Psalm 86 describes the Lord as a God full of compassion and grace. In Isaiah 54:8, the Lord says, "With everlasting kindness, I will have compassion on you." Hear this flood of compassion for you, the poor, miserable sinner, for you who have let your God down every day of your life and your loved ones down only a little less, for you who know your sins outnumber the very hairs on your head, for you who are sinful from your youth up, for you who are conceived in sin, for you who are by nature a blind, dead enemy of God, is all this compassion for Jesus' sake. But that's part of the problem. We think that this turn of events shows that God is no longer compassionate to us. The other side of sin, death, and the devil have won. Well, how do you think Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah felt? The scripture says, righteous Lot's soul was vexed every day. He was miserable. Everywhere he turned, homosexuality was celebrated. But what happened? The Lord had compassion on him in the midst of that ocean of unbelief and unfettered sin. God delivered him and his family from there while delivering the five cities around him to total destruction. The Lord bore with the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah for decades, but then judgment fell and fell hard. It's a miracle that our country, which has embraced baby killing for over 40 years, has not been judged yet. It's a miracle that God has had compassion on this land that so boldly shakes its fist at His truth. It's a miracle that judgment has not come. And it's because of us. It's because Christians, as our Lord directs us, each Sunday pray for our leaders. And we'll continue to do that till this country is no more. We can't hold back our prayers, but there does come a time when we must hold back our compassion. Christ's compassion ceases when it leads away from His passion. Hear Luther's full statement on this. Even the most wicked human beings must be born with compassion. But when they want to snatch us with them to destruction, compassion must cease. Go back and read your Bibles. When the rich young man wanted to be saved by keeping the law, well, Jesus gave him too much law to keep. The scripture says that that young man went away sad. But Jesus didn't chase after him with compassion. See how sharply Jesus spoke to those who wished to put anything before Him. Let the dead bury the dead. He who doesn't love his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who is not with me is against me. Jesus did not go through His passion so that He could show compassion on those embracing their sins, defending their sins, wishing to remain in their sins, or so people could declare that what God declares to be sin is not. This is why faithful Christians everywhere are struggling so. Being put before us are obvious sins of the depths of Sodom and Gomorrah, and we are being told that we must say they're not sins. But we can't do that. Because if they are not sins, then not only don't they need Jesus' forgiveness, but Jesus didn't need to die for them. Our compassion is being called forth at the expense of denying Jesus' passion. Our love for our fellow man is being called forth at the expense of the doctrine of the gospel. Things probably would have come to a head far sooner for faithful Christians if we had simply and consistently called abortion what it is, murder. But we didn't do that, because when you did, no pun intended, all hell broke loose. Now it's time to pay the piper. The secular government has redefined marriage. They are requiring us to say, the joining of the same sex is marriage. That is the same as saying that the killing of the unborn is not murder. See, the government never required us to say that, but only to pay for it. So abortion wasn't in our face the same way same-sex marriage is. Now we can't help but speak out. Those in the outward church who embraced abortion in the name of compassion, they're going to do the same with gay marriage. And because it is a much more public issue, they leave us feeling compassionless and maybe less Christian. So let's see what Christ says. In our text, we read that Jesus had compassion on that crowd. Surely there were unrepentant sinners in that crowd. Some people who embraced all manner of sins. Yet Jesus had compassion on them. But what did he do to address their plight of being shepherdless sheep? He became their shepherd by teaching them many things. You know, shepherdless sheep will eat things that are poisonous for them. They're easy prey to wolves, and if they fall over on their backs, they can't get up on their own. Shepherdless sheep will embrace the murder of the unborn as a good thing, and gay marriage that cannot reproduce life as a lifesaver. They will fall into the well of unreason, where the only law admitted by everybody is survival of the fittest. Jesus has compassion on the homosexuals, the lesbians, abortionists in that crowd. And how does he show his compassion? By teaching them. And what do you think his main teaching was? His passion. That he came into this world to deliver people from their sins. Though the whole world was telling them that there was no deliverance from their unbelief, their sexual immorality, their thieving, their lying ways, he was here to say he was their hope. He was their way out. But before you can show any sinner the way out from his sin, you have to show him his sin. Before you can preach to a sinner of the Lord's forgiveness, he has to see he has sins that need forgiving. The LGBT crowd thinks they've won the day. They think a government fiat can relieve their guilt. A government fiat can make them feel normal. A government fiat can make them the gay people the sad section of society has always claimed to be. It won't. And when they realize that, they will conclude, we who won't accept them are the real problem. Just as the Sodomites concluded, Lot's judging them was the real problem. Let us have compassion for these shepherdless sheep, not by accepting their slavery to sin, but by confessing the shepherd who bore their sin, guilt, and shame. We can no more accept their sin than we do our own. We can have no more compassion on their sins than we do on our own. We can't embrace a compassion that denies our Lord's passion. But we can marvel with John Donne that Jesus has both for sinners without compromising either. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.